You recently announced that the TI will start the 45 nanometer and thereafter technology development. What makes this decision, and does this affect your potential recruiting policy? Like, you are not going to hire process or process related R&D engineers, something like that?
So if you look, we announced, actually it was this Monday night, the announcement publicly, and what is a statement I'm very, very well recited at 45 nanometer and below. We'll finish one particular 45 nanometer node. We'll actually do most unit process development and process integration with a couple of the foundry partners that we've worked with for a number of years. What you will find us doing, which means we will be doing less process development inside of TI. So, you know, just make that very clear. We will still do all of our analog process development, all of our mixed signal process development inside of TI. And we will still run quite a bit of what I would call strategic process development in terms of making sure we're guiding the foundries to what we need for our advanced products. So performance, power dissipation, circuit techniques, those types of things, we'll have a group that will be interfacing into the foundries to be able to get that done. We're also going to be beefing up quite a bit our modeling, our characterization, the whole world of how do you adapt the base processes to how you make the chips run faster, run better, and perform to the spec. So it is going to change some of the recruiting we do in the short term, just in terms of the mix of students that we'll be looking for. But we'll be doing that process development in a different way for analog long term.
I would just like to know what a typical day is like for you. Get up really early, go to bed really late, or...
No, you get up early and you fall asleep early. When you get old, you know, we're not pulling all-nighters. Tried it, done it, been there. If you take a look, typical day, I will spend probably approaching 40% of my time with customers. Because it's just a very simple belief. If you want to know what's happening inside your company, spend the time outside, because that's what will tell you what people are really doing. From there, spend a lot of time with people internally, getting down into the organization, know what's going on, get a sense of where things are heading. And then a lot of the other stuff is, you know, other stuff. You just do it. Travel quite a bit. Probably, I'll bet out on the road half the time. Other than that, you're busy at my point right now, keeping up with kids and family and high schoolers and all the good entertainment that you probably still remember quite well that you can generate at that age.
What kind of qualities does TI look for in a new hire or in a co-op? And could you talk about that a little?
Yeah, I think I'll talk at a very high level, and then if anybody else wants to comment, we've got a lot of TIers here that actually get pretty involved in the co-op process. You know, if you sit back and say, and I don't know if it applies at the point of interviewing, what values do we hold very high? The values of how you behave and how you operate, ethics, treatment of people. You know, we want to have a company you can be personally proud of. If you're talking to family or at church or at school. And what that means is you actually need to have a lot of people looking out and making sure you have that type of culture. And you've taken a look over the past 5, 6, 7 years in the world, good ethical companies and good behavior has not always been an assumption that you can take for granted. You have to really work and invest to make that happen. Then you go down to the types of things of, you know, do you have passion, do you have urgency, do you have curiosity? Do you have drive? Do you want to make a difference? Do you want to make an impact? You know, these days it is just darn near essential. You've got to be good at teaming, because very few of our, I don't care if it's developments or business teams or sales teams, you usually have to do it in a pretty collaborative environment from that perspective. Those are the attributes that you're going to find pretty high on the list that people have to look for. And there's no survey you fill out to judge that, right? It's going to be about getting to know the person. I think that's why the co-op or summer program is so powerful. you can essentially interview us over an extended period of time, and we can interview you. Where interview means you can figure out, do I think I culturally have a match, and do I think I can picture myself working there? And you can judge that over months, not a 30-minute meeting, because it's pretty tough getting that out of a short meeting. Any of the T-hires have comments to add, follow up on that? I mean, it's all a long list, and here's what you really need. It's usually when Gene raises his hand.
I'm just curious, you talk about innovation, and I was wondering, companies like TI, what kind of new area, new market you're looking into, or you're hoping, you know, get into, and you have some sort of system and a great industry, what kind of role the semiconductor industry would play?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you go back to a very high-level statement and look at the markets that we're in today, and you guys can actually do this without me giving you the insight. Is the cell phone or wireless industry, are there going to be more people using them and less over the next 5 and 10 years? Pretty good guess, it's more. What are people going to be using cell phones for? Just to make voice calls, or are we going to start seeing video and other information being moved over to cell phones? Is wireless as a connectivity solution going to be embedded in electronic equipment or products because you want to connect these up, make them easier to use? Are you going to find innovations in the entire analog space because people want a longer battery life on handheld entertainment equipment, or they want to be able to compress and decompress video at higher rates and store it at more compressed rates, so more higher precision data converters are required? Is the world of medical electronics or, you know, medicine or the life science industry going to figure out ways to adapt and use DSPs and analog embedded controller? I think you're going to find all those areas become big growth. The automotive industry, is it going to have, you know, less electronics inside it or more? Navigation systems, entertainment systems, communication systems, sensing and stability control, all moving into the field. So it's really one of these things that you walk across a lot of the different end markets that you can think of and just ask a very simple question. Can semiconductor make that equipment better or easier to use or more functional? And that's where you can get a sense of where the growth is going to come from and really why we're pretty excited about what's ahead of us even for the next 10 odd years. Somebody asked about DLP, HDTV. You see projectors in rooms like this. We've actually got a group, they'll have a demonstration at a show in Barcelona in Spain, I think it's in 2 weeks, where we have figured out how to take a projector, smaller and smaller and smaller, and that projector now, Mary, is it's millimeters on a side, they'll fit it in the end of a cell phone. Now, I don't know how many people need a projector in their cell phone, but we can put it there, okay? And I say that as the beauty of our business is, I don't know how they're going to hit projectors and cell phones will be, but what would happen if you had a video iPod and instead of trying to just look at it on that 2x3 screen, you could now actually dock it on a table and show that video on a wall? Is that a good idea? So that's the type of thing when you just look at the world changing and innovation happening.
Good question.
I may have a question because you know the outsourcing is a very popular way in American companies now. One way is to reduce costs, and another way to serve the customer, as you said, worldwide. My question is, how are young graduates with no or very little experience to cope with this situation, how to better prepare for the future work?
Yeah, you know, I'll give a very simple answer to that. That is, be great, have a big impact, and be successful with what you work on. And there will be absolutely no issue about where that work will be done or the value that it has. You take a look, and you have some of this debate on IC design, people debating on, does IC design get moved to India or get moved to China? And because people say, oh, it's going to be cheaper in China or cheaper in India. Well, statement one, if you take a look at wages and costs of IC design, it's not going to be cheaper in China or in India for much longer, because wage rates, they'll all rise to the same level on a global basis, and it'll happen inside of 3-4 years. So now, now you're down to the companies made about better.
We don't pay closer attention to what we are expecting graduates to study and learn.
And now you're on exactly where I'm going to go. If you want to assess the real cost of a design team, it's the quality of the output. If you have to take 3 passes to do a design, I don't care what the cost is for each pass. The fact is, if it took 3, it's going to be more expensive, it's going to be late, and you're going to have an unsatisfied customer. So that's where I come back. I don't worry about it from any perspective. Have a big impact, be on a great development team, generate great designs, and we're going to be doing them, I believe, for a long time. I think the comment from up front is very accurate. We have inferior teams, okay, or we are doing lesser quality IC design, and that team isn't going to operate. But that's a global statement. It's not going to operate in China or India or Europe or U.S. for that matter. So that's why I say it that matter of fact, like we're going to have a demand for quality teams, and that will be the real priority in this business.
So there's already the case that some companies are outsourcing because they get it done better. And so as a CEO of PI, you have an important responsibility to make sure that higher education in this country has the right values and gets funded to the right level to make sure that we're still competitive in the world market. Because if you look at the first derivative, what's going on in the U.S., and the first derivative, what's going on in India and China, I'm not a lot concerned.
Is that a question or a statement?
So we put it in a question. What are you doing about it?
Here today.
That's a start.
Top message when we go to Washington, one message. Increase investment in university R&D. Take a look at the actions when we announced the work on a nanoelectronics center for Texas. TI money going into university work so that we have the right class of R&D being done long term.
You also look at the group,
look at the group that we've got also representing us here today from the very business R&D center to TI. It's not one person that has the interest. There's depth inside the company and there are more people want.
So we need more TAs, we need more faculty, these are other things. In addition, we certainly need more research, but the bottom line is what these kids get in the classroom, and funding the TA budget for the state universities and the state of Texas, I think is on your list.
Okay.
I apologize for interrupting.
No. Fine, okay.
With the rapid change in technology, fabless semiconductor companies are moving their manufacturing and outsourcing that. How does TI plan to stay competitive when they still have manufacturing facilities that are profitable now, but how will it change in the future?
In some ways it's back to the design question and put it on the question inside. I'll get with groups. We've got wafer fabs in Dallas, Texas, Sherman, Texas, and Freising, Germany, and in Japan. And I'll sit down with those groups and they'll ask, what's it take to ensure, almost as a design question, what's it take to ensure that we're here in 5 years? Mm-hmm. That's competitive wafer costs. Okay. And they say, well, our labor rates may not be the same as in China. I said, I understand. I didn't say pay the same as you pay in China. I said have the end product be at that same level of competitiveness. And the ones that really just give the experience on it and why I'm so confident is, take a look at Japan today. Our wafer fabs in Japan are the most competitive factories we have. And if you take a look at wages in Japan, they're probably the highest on a per cap basis of any country. How do they do it? They do it by working different. Their direct-indirect ratios are different, their yields are the highest, their cycle times are some of the best, because of the training, the stability of the workforce, the way they go about total predictive maintenance and operate the fab. That's how you have a very competitive manufacturing operation. I believe we'll be manufacturing in the U.S. for a very long time, because I think we can be competitive doing it. We can make it an advantage for customers. But you don't do it for the sake of doing it or for the spirit of waving the flag. You do it because you're good at it and you got to stay focused on it.
Are there any?
Why don't you grab it so people in the back can hear.
Are there any journals or other industry publications that you follow that you might recommend we start reading through now?
You know, the more things I get see getting written on the outside, I'm thinking I should read less. Is what I've decided on some of the publication. You know, in general, it's a wide range. What I go after is be curious. Okay, and it sounds really shallow, but it's not. It's meant to be really deep. Be curious about the way business operates. Be curious about innovation. Be curious about companies. Be curious about what's happening around the globe. And there's just a lot of different options that you can pick up and take a look at on that front. And don't ever think it stops. Okay? Young is not a statement of age. Young is a statement of attitude. And I see it in TI all the time. We have some of our youngest people, okay, that are probably nearing retirement. And I've also got some old ones that have only been working 8 or 9 years because they've stopped being curious or they've stopped thinking that they need to keep changing all.
Rich, I have a question. Do you have any comments about having an engineering degree and being a CEO?
You know, to me, I go back to the broader statement up front. That is, I think an engineering degree helps you in any job right now and see that you're at. And I say that because look at this world now. How much technology and how much science impacts almost every facet. I don't care if you have somebody trying to go in the investment world, in the sales world, CEO, whatever that is. I think knowing how the world works puts you at a distinct advantage over those that don't. And you're just going to be more comfortable to know how things operate.
When did you decide that this is what you wanted to do, to be the CEO? I mean, did you start out saying that that's what I wanted to do, that was my goal, or did you just kind of get into it and then things happen?
The day I was told by the chairman I had a new job was the day I decided if I was going to be the CEO or not. I did not, and there's some people that can actually lend witness that are here that I've known for a long time. I never had this grand plan of I'm going to be here on this schedule to do this type of work. I really always just loved the people I worked with, the projects and the teams that I was on, and I just focused on having a good time doing that. And what you'll find at TI is that the way we reward, okay, high achievers is we dump more stuff on you. Okay. Well, that sounds fun. But it's actually what people want. Okay, is they want more hard work, more tough stuff. Give me the impossible job. Give me something that's broken that I want to work on. That's really the system that we tend to operate with, and I always enjoyed that inside of TI. So I never had a grand plan. Some people do, and it works for them. So don't just you've got to figure out what works for yourself in terms of how you plan and how you run your career. Don't let a book do it. For God's sake, don't let somebody else tell you what it is.
Good afternoon, Mr. President. Can I call you Mr. Cabinet?
You can call me Daddy.
My name is Ming Xia. I'm from China, and I'm a first year graduate student. I'm now studying in electrical computer engineering department. And I come from China for two reasons. The first is to study in UT, to study the RFID technology. Everyone knows that. TI plays a leading role in the RFID world. And the second objective is to work in TI after my graduation. Let me put my question in a straight way. I have prepared my resume and you and any other managers accept this and consider me as your summer intern. Thank you.
I I know you think you want to go on RFID. I think we're going to push it in sales.
We need direct people that aren't confused about what they want.
It seems we help a lot of them.
I think we probably have time for one more question. Is there one more?
That means no.
Okay, one more.
Uh oh.
This is the last one.
It's a light hard one. No worries.
I was just wondering what your favorite product or idea is that has ever come out of TI.
Get on the next one. and I don't say that in a smart aleck way. I really put it that way. I have got we've got some folks here. Ray C. Martin. You know, we grew up down in Houston on a bunch of different products. We had a fascinating time. It was great, great times and great years to be able to work with. But what's great today is every time you turn around, there's some really fascinating new stuff coming out the door. And it's why I think I really am the most fortunate in terms of the job that I have. I get to work with a lot of these great people, and you get to just work on some really, really cool stuff. It's constantly changing. You cannot predict, you know, what the next thing will be. Okay, guys, most importantly, and Beth is here, you can see some of the staff and faculty, I just want to say thanks to the folks that work to make UT strong, okay, provide the type of institution you have, the type of learning opportunity you've got, and really thank you for the chance I had today to get to meet a lot of people and see a lot of things in a very compact amount of time. It is a lot of fun to come here, I can assure you. I get to go places like Wall Street and talk to our wonderful analysts. So thanks for having us here tonight and having a question.